Happy Easter. Jesus Christ is risen. We've arrived at one of the most joyful times in the church calendar as we celebrate the most remarkable intervention of God into human history, the resurrection of his own son. And indeed, the whole paschal mystery of his own son, his death and suffering and his resurrection and ascension into heaven. But today the church presents us with some beautiful scriptures of early apostolic preaching based on the historical fact of the resurrection in our first and second readings today. In our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, Peter says that they put Jesus to death by hanging him on a tree. But he goes on and says, "This man God raised on the third day, and granted that he be visible not to all the people, but to us, the witnesses chosen by God in advance, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." Who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. This is what the apostles preached. This is what the early church went around preaching, that the resurrection was not something simply symbolic or spiritual. It was something literal, something physical. Remember how Thomas would not believe that Jesus was risen from the dead until he had actually touched his wounds with his own hands. That's how literal the resurrection was. And I plan to speak on this a bit more in later homilies this Easter season. Precisely what the resurrection was and precisely what it was not. Because I think there is some confusion around what the resurrection is. But that I'll save that for another time. It's crucial, though, that we grasp the truth about the resurrection. What happened and what the early church believed, what Jewish Christians believed, happened. So anyway, let's turn our attention now to today's gospel on this Easter morning. Today we hear how Mary of Magdala runs and tells Peter and John what she saw, which was the stone rolled away and no body in the tomb, an empty tomb. And then there's this famous race to the tomb between Peter and John. John was younger than Peter, we're told, so he easily outruns him and gets to the tomb first, but he doesn't go in right away, and he defers to Peter. He allows the older apostle to enter the tomb first. I think the first reason why was that while John was the beloved disciple, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, but he knew he was not the first disciple. He knew that Peter was the first, the one chosen by Christ to be the rock, the head of the apostles. And so because Jesus made Peter the first, John would let him enter before him. But the detail I really want us to focus on this morning, just to begin to let the incredible reality of the resurrection sink in, and we're only getting a taste of it today. We only see the empty tomb today. I want us to think back to Christmas. Think back to Christmas, about the story of the Nativity that's proclaimed at Mass on Christmas. Especially the Mass during the night, or the midnight Mass. Think about that story. Mary, who gave birth to her son, and she took the baby and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. It seems like it was only just yesterday that we were celebrating Christmas. Mary, we heard about Mary wrapping her infant in these swaddling clothes, already prefiguring his burial, the burial cloths that Mary would help wrap him in before he was laid in the tomb. But at Christmas, we hear about this, the greatest gift that could ever be given to mankind, which is the God-man, Jesus himself, the Son of God, wrapped and laid in a manger and adored by Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and the magi, the angels singing God's praises, glory to God in the highest. And then Christians down through the ages, you and me, adoring Jesus who was born for us, who was born to die for us. So at Christmas, the greatest gift is presented to us wrapped. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. And we just celebrated now Holy Week. So the manger all of a sudden is overshadowed by Calvary. What's the church getting us to see? On the day before he was to suffer, he took bread. Remember, Bethlehem in Hebrew means house of bread. And the baby of Bethlehem, the church is now getting us to see, is the Lamb of God who will be sacrificed to take away sins. And now on Easter morning, the mystic, the contemplative disciple, John, arrives at the tomb and he sees the burial cloths laid aside. The gift has now been unwrapped. And the mystery of our salvation, John is seeing, because he was the contemplative one, is beginning to be fully revealed. Just beginning. We know that it says they had not yet understood the scripture that he had to rise from the dead, but it's beginning to be revealed. The gift has been unwrapped. The gift at Christmas has now been unveiled. John sees, just like the Blessed Mother's, he ponders the mystery in his heart, and he believes, we're told. And later on, this faith will be enriched by understanding when he writes, "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." At this Easter Mass, we do not see the grave cloths and the empty tomb as John did with our own eyes. But John has borne witness to us, as has Peter and the apostles. And we know that their testimony is true. Moreover, Jesus says to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." We have the testimony of the apostles. We have many historical evidences. And the witness of miracles, the endurance of the church through the ages. But most of all, we have the gift of faith, which we've received in our baptism, when we were reborn as children of God. That faith that allows us to see and believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. God desires children, not slaves, but who are forced to love him, but children who receive his love and return it. And on this Easter Sunday, let's all renew our faith in the resurrection as children of God the Father, confident in the testimony of the apostles that we've heard today proclaimed once again to us, that this Jesus, who was put to death on a tree, was born for me, and he died for me, and he rose on the third day for me. And we can all joyfully sing together, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. Alleluia."